Off the Ball Breakfast.
Your projection now around this conversation.
No, I'm agent. I'm fascinated by you as it is. I'm even more interested in you in terms of this topic.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
LOI Late Night on Off the Ball is brought to you by Rockshore 00. Refreshingly alcohol free.
Always be drink aware. Get the facts and visit drinkaware.ie.
And break time is officially over. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to League of Ireland Late Night in partnership with Rockshore and Off the Ball, a league of our own. Get the facts, be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie. It's Cameron here. Hope you're having a lovely weekend and enjoyed our league returning again after the mid-season break. It's Friday the 13th, of course, so I'm hoping my co-host tonight will help me ward off any evil spirits. First up, the lucky charm that is Shane Keegan.
Cameron, I managed to get through the whole of today without anybody pointing out to me that was Friday the 13th. You're the first man to make me aware of that. But near 2 hours now, I'm going to be burying my head in my hands and hoping nothing bad happens to me.
Well, that's what I'm here for, Shane. There you go. Also joined by a good omen. Oh man, he is. It's Barry Murphy.
I think Barry dropped off. I think I saw him gone out with your co-host this there, Cameron.
Oh, well, if that's the worst thing that happens tonight, we're in pretty good shape.
Get him back
in a second. Barry is going to join us in a few minutes' time. If you want to get any League of Ireland's thoughts off your chest this evening, we want to hear them. Request to speak using the mic icon in the bottom left corner there, and we'll get you on the line as soon as we can. There's plenty callers already, including Barry Murphy. We'll get him set up as co-host first before we, without further ado, and bring you through what happened tonight in the league, because Shamrock Rovers remain 6 points clear at the top of the table. Josh Honohan going from villain to hero tonight. An own goal, a disastrous own goal, it has to be said, just before halftime at Tolka Park. And then got the winner in a 2-1 win over Shelburne at Tolka Park. Bohemians now in second place, 2-0 was the final score at Cork City this evening. Dale Rooney and Archie Meekison getting the goals for Alan Reynolds' side. They leapfrog Drogheda United, who had to settle for a 0-0 draw. A pretty good point, you'd have to say, from a Drogheda perspective against St. Pat's at Richmond Park. And Derry City and Galway United finished 1-1. In the first division, Dundalk were held to a 1-1 draw at home to UCD. That cuts their lead, well, to 7 at the top. Athlone Town 2, Kerry 2 was the final score from Lissy Wallen. A really good result from a Kerry perspective. Colin Healy working his magic there. Finn Harps 1, Wexford 1 was the final score at Finn Park. And Treaty United beat Bray Wanderers by 2-1. Let's get a couple of callers up. I think Tommy James might be ready to hear us here. Good evening, Tommy. How are you?
Oh, good. Yeah, not a bad point today, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, it is. It was a spirited performance, Tommy. Sorry, because I saw the stat afterwards, and this was the game I was watching tonight. And Pat's had 3 shots on target from 19. Like there was a little bit of there was a penalty missed by Mason Melia. He scuffed his shot in the second half.
Well, a save. Yeah, it was a bad penalty, in fairness, but a good save by Danielson, definitely. Yeah, I thought, like, we had a good shape, but I just seen a stat there, actually, from Barry Landy. Like, that's the third 0-0 draw in a row with Pats and Drogs. But out of the last 7 games, 5 of them have been 0-0. That's just crazy stat, I think. So, yeah, they kind of cancel each other out. I think they probably looked better going forward than we did. We didn't have too many chances. Maybe could have nicked it at the end, but a draw is probably a fair result, really. Like, it's hard to argue with it.
And were they well on top, Tommy? Or when you say they had the better of the chances, like, was it dominance from their side of things, penalty aside, or?
No, like, I think they were turning the screw a little bit in the second half, but there was it was a very scrappy game. There was a lot of tackles, and even after the tackle, there was another tackle. The ball was bouncing up, and there wasn't a lot of flow to the game, but they were killing us down the right-hand side in the first half. They just didn't seem to get a lot of balls into the box. I mean, I think they hit the post at one stage as well, and they did a few shots that just didn't really trouble the keeper. But yeah, it was a bit bit meh. But like a brilliant performance by us. But like, I don't think we played great football or anything like that. It was just like bodies on the line, blocks. Like Ryan Brennan again was excellent.
Were you watching it online or were you there yourself?
No, I was watching it at home.
And when you said they were causing problems down the right, did you cop who was on the Pats' right-hand side? Was it McLennan or Elmazetti or...?
Elmazetti in the first half, yeah. And then McLaughlin, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They were licking up. They were definitely causing issues. But we did defend well and everything. Conor Keighley again as well, like, just got his head and his leg on everything. Like, I thought, like, for the panel, maybe Douglas James Taylor, he kind of come back and it was like typical of all the tackles. They could make a tackle and then the ball would bounce off a player or get back. Pat still were getting the ball even after we were making tackles. It was bouncing up to the other player. It was just one of them kind of nights. But he just kind of kept following the ball and ran over the back of the heels of the Pats player. I don't know who it was, but it was a panel. Like, but yeah, it's good save, I suppose. Wasn't a great panel now from Melia, in fairness.
It was a really, you could kind of read where Melia was going. Really slow run up. Dennison just held his line, held his position, and a good save. But yeah, James Douglas Taylor, he just was looking at the ball, kind of bounced away from Levy. Levy went to kind of shield it, put his foot over it, and maybe even draw a foul. And he just stepped on his Achilles just on the edge of the box and took him down. An unfortunate one, but Drogheda more than deserved a point in the game. I thought they were excellent.
Yeah, I think so. It just probably didn't have much going forward. Didn't really stray. Like, Shane Farrell, come on. I think he, like, just, I don't know what we were missing, but just maybe it's the couple of weeks off, just kind of getting back into it. I mean, Pats are, like, brilliant team as well, but, like, I just don't think we played as well as we could have offensively, but we were definitely, like, you know, strong behind the ball and stuff.
You'll fancy your chances against the league leaders on Monday night?
Unfortunately, they got a late goal there. It would have been nice now if they had it just drew 1-1. Yeah, look, like, we'll give them a game, definitely. Like, it won't make it easy for them. But, yeah, should be interesting. We've a lot more bigger stuff going on Monday than that game, in fairness, though.
Very true.
What's the reaction among the fan base been like to what's happened, Tommy, over the last...
Yeah, it's like, we kind of knew it was like rumbling on for a while, right? And then kind of blew up maybe like when Silkeberg, is it? They qualified about 2 weeks ago, and then it was like, all right, this is a bit more of an issue now. And I had heard about the two Mexican clubs, I think, wasn't it? In the Club World Cup, one of them got expelled. So it was like, all right, they're actually, I know that's FIFA or whatever, but they're actually enforcing these rules now. But then I heard, like, City last year, Man City, Man United, Salzburg, Red Bull Salzburg, and Leipzig. And, like, you were thinking, right, well, there's been lots of incidents today, and no team has been kicked out of European competition yet for multi-club ownership. So you're kind of thinking, right, well, will it happen us? Probably. Maybe looks like it will. Like, they might make an example of us, which will be pretty shit. But I suppose it looks like they're going to the Court of Arbitration for Sport, and it's going to hinge on the information that was sent out to draw the circulars or in a timely fashion or something like that. I think that's the basis of their argument. It'd be safe, like, whatever for about, right, for the fans, but for the players that got there, like, they won the cup, they deserve to play in Europe. Like, you know, it shouldn't come down. And even at the time, like, Trevelya, they didn't even own the other team at the time when Drogheda qualified, which is the real sickening thing, like, about the whole process.
Very, very eloquently put, Tommy. It would indeed be a bit shit.
Yeah.
It is, but it all hinges on something that's kind of vague as well. When they've moved the date from June the 3rd to March the 1st, and then all you had to do was indicate what way you were going to structure your ownership model. And then that's kind of where the debate lies. And that's where Drogheda think they have a case, is that they weren't informed where other clubs were. You look at Nottingham Forest, you look at Palace, they were all informed in the autumn that this was going to be the case, that they were going to move these timelines forward. But you can see, like, that's it's not much of a case to hinge it on. The only thing is the Court of Arbitration for Sport do take into their little bit of, like, they mightn't be the letter of the law. They might give you a little bit of leeway, and that's probably where they have a chance of kind of resurrecting things. But again, as you said, for the players as well, it's such a horrible thing to learn this week with a week off going into the league game as well, that maybe your European dreams, as it's been mentioned during the week, some of these lads won't get to play in Europe again. Like, last year was such a brilliant year, and then to have that taken away, and from a club point of view, budgets as well would have been laid out, and players' bonuses, everything like that would have gone into this European campaign. So if they don't get that money that they're even due getting to their first stage, then it's going to have massive repercussions for the club.
Yeah, I think, what is it, 565,000 as well? Like, and obviously budgets would have been done at the start of the year expecting this, and maybe players would have stayed with Rada, maybe expecting European football as well. Like, so, yeah, it'd be an absolute
disaster.
Yeah, it would be, and it's there's probably an ironic twist to it all, that if you'd won the Cup next year, you'd be in the Europa League and it wouldn't even matter. So it's just such unfortunate timing. And hopefully Drogheda get the rub of the green on Monday in terms of that hearing, and that it's all sorted. Because as you say, I think Vinnie Perth made the point that, like, players, especially in the League of Ireland, they dream of those European days and how special they've been. Not just for Shamrock Rovers in the season just gone, but even thinking back to the scenes when Sligo Rovers beat Motherwell in the qualifying rounds, and just the euphoria around that. Those are great scenes to see during the summer. So hopefully you can get a positive decision on Monday, Tommy.
Yeah, big time. Yeah, look, I remember, what was it, back in 08, was it? We nearly knocked Dynamo Kiev out of Champions League, like, you know, with, like, an open goal away, just put it over the crossbar, and on away goals, we would have knocked them out. It's just mental, like, yeah, and was going to go away to the game, unless it was in Eastern Europe or something like that this year, or if it was really far away, but, like, chances of getting, like, somewhere close, like, there's Welsh teams, Gibraltar teams, a few, like, indoor, like, different places close enough, like, was just, like, kept keeping eyes on the teams that were in the draw, looking at the rankings changing, and then just all this stuff coming through, and it's like, yeah, it'll be a nervy wait Monday, but, yeah, I don't know, not confident. I asked Grock there the other day, and it said a 20 to 40% chance of us winning the case, so...
Well, Elon Musk is famously a Dundalk fan, so you know that's just what that is.
Oh yeah,
don't worry.
But I mean, would you not have gone with somebody like Dan McDonald rather than Grock? No, you reckon your odds are safer with Grock?
Yeah, look, AI has bias, but I'm sure Dan has a bit of bias as well.
That may very well be true. Listen, Tommy, best of luck with it, and we'll be watching proceedings in Cass and at Sullivan and Lamb Park on Monday with great interest. Thanks for coming on.
No bother, lads. Thanks for having us. Talk to you soon.
Tommy Shields has dropped off again, so hopefully he'll give us the view from, I assume it's the Galway supporters bus travelling down from Derry. In the meantime, Anthony Kiernan is standing by. Good evening, Anthony. How are you?
Hey, lads. How's it going?
Good. It must be better for you. I mean, 2-0 down in Turner's Cross, up to second. You started the break with a bang, or the return from the break with a bang.
Yeah, they were quite good tonight. I was listening to it there on the League of Ireland TV, and Dan Murray was doing the commentating for Cork, and he was very high on praise for Bowes at the end of the game. He said it was the best team he'd seen in Cork this year. And I had it there on the laptop, and I had Shells and Rovers in the background. And just the speed that the Bowes game and the Cork game was being played at. And then if you looked up and seen the Rovers and Shells game, you could just see a difference in like, I was struggling to see three or four passes put together in the Rovers and Shells game. And Bowes and Cork, you were hard pushed to lose the ball. Like, and that's just a gauge. That's just me gauging it there now, kind of 300,000 feet in the air of how good a game even the Bowes and Cork game was tonight. I thought Bowes are very strong. I thought he could have scored. I think he had 10 chances in the first half, come up on the statistics at half time, forward and more on target. Cork weren't bad either. Like Cork, the optics of that looks bad, but Cork were definitely, there was a battle there, and Cork had one or two half chances and did some standout performance. The keeper played very well. The Dutch guy up front was excellent. He worked very well. And then the right foot, I think he got caught out for the second goal, but he was quite good as well. It was a good all round game.
Yeah, you have to be. It's just, I don't know. I struggle to remember a team having such two extremes as where you find yourselves at now compared to where things were. Hardly like 2 months ago, and people were calling for Rennie's head, and we're going to be sucked into a relegation battle. I mean, it's been an absolutely unbelievable turnaround. I didn't see any of tonight's only. I just saw Meekson's goal, which, by the way, was a brilliant finish, wasn't it? I know the defender has to do better initially, but he still has an awful, awful lot of work to do from there. He was the coolest man in Turner's Cross with the way he finished it, I thought. What a turnaround, like.
Yeah, look, I suppose I was having a chat about that at the start of the year in Daily Mount with one of the lads. He'd know what he's talking about when it comes to football. And I said, I haven't seen, it was the first game against Drogheda and they beat us 1-0. I said, I don't think I've seen a Bowes team as bad as this since Gareth Farrelly was in charge. And he turned around and he said, Anto, these players are some of the best players we've ever seen in a Bowes jersey. The quality that Dawson Devoy, Ross Tierney, we spoke about Gretton the last day, the goalkeeper, Sharaski, I don't think gets enough credit off anybody. Like, he is excellent. He was our player of the season last year, keeping Talbot out of the team. Some really good players they've added in, like Andrew Moynihan and even Mountney on the bench. You can see they're all plugging away, bringing back Cornwall and Buckley. It just gives that sort of, yeah, we've been here before about it. And like tonight on 70 minutes, Bowes made a triple substitution. They brought on Reece Brennan, they brought on Colin Whelan, and they brought on Keith Buckley. And you're kind of going, like, that's what you need to have.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
that's what you do. You're 6 points behind. You have a game in hand. What changes do you make in the window to try and close that gap and potentially put in a real title challenge? Like, you look like you're going to lose Gretton in the that's probably his last game.
So yeah,
coming in now with anywhere else, you think we get another player in there and we can launch a real challenge?
Well, to be honest with you, I think if we need to bring players in, we're going to need to let a couple go as well. Because if you're looking at there's lads on good wages that are all on sitting on the bench there. But look, the obvious one is Barry is a centre forward. Like, if you have a centre forward, like Ross Tierney had two or three good chances in the second half. But if you have a centre forward there, he's just on the half turn. Some of them are just stopping the centre halves, even just clearing the ball. And you're little players that are picking up these little spaces all over the pitch. Your Devoy's, your James Clark's, your Ross Tierney's. They're going to benefit from having, like, I was a bit upset today. Moussay wasn't even on the bench again, and you're kind of going, that's just plan B if plan A isn't working. So yeah, I definitely think if you're to push on and you're looking and you're saying, well, look at Rovers' results last year when it came to European time, the Monday night games, they dropped an awful lot of points when they were trying to reel shells in, and you're kind of going, if that materialises again this year and Bowes are fresh going into the last round of games and they're within touching distance, they'll definitely need a centre forward.
So you nearly have the same 10 or 11 starting week in, week out, a couple of changes here and again, but they're all available. Those that aren't starting are on the bench. So you're getting that consistency of players as well playing. So it does look good. Not having that European football is going to be massive in the next couple of weeks as well. So you want Rovers to go deep into that competition to kind of mount the challenge.
Yeah, you do. And look, there's no easy games. I had a flick through some of the games there earlier on, and there's like the Pats and Drogheda game. So that was like, you're not getting an easy game. There's not a single easy game you can have in this league at any stage. And the last thing you want to be doing coming back off a flight and going for a league under the pump is playing. And at the same time, look, Bowes need to target getting back to Europe. That should be the goal there. And anything else after that is a bonus. But I don't know if it's a cliche, but if you're looking for Europe, you're going to be in with a title challenge because it's that tight up the top. If you lose two or three games in a row, you could be back down. You're looking over your shoulder again.
At the same time, Anthony, while there are no easy games, you probably didn't mind having to go down to Cork after the break, given just how they've struggled this year, the kind of tense enough atmosphere around Turner's Cross. In many ways, it was the perfect way to kind of just wake up again.
Yeah, well, you needed to be at it. Like, that was a battle. I don't know. Cork's definitely not the worst team I've seen this year in the three times I've watched them this year, three or four times. They're definitely, like, they've gotten some good results there. Didn't they get a 1-1 against Shells and played them off the park in the first half the last day before the break? So, like, Cork, if we were beaten there at the start of the year after going 1-0 up, even if you're looking at the statistics from the Bows game tonight, even at 70 minutes, I'm glued to that screen and I'm going to myself, if there was actually a half a chance of a penalty, Cork might add Catlow Sullivan, and if that goes in, then you're looking Turner's Cross up and at it, and you're going, that's not where you want to be. I think we were able to manage the game a little bit tonight, which is good as well. But you know, that's not slight on Cork. I definitely don't think they're the worst team I've seen this year by any stretch of the imagination.
Right, we'll leave it there. So you've Waterford next Friday. So we don't know how they're obviously playing Sligo Rovers tomorrow at the Showgrounds. So we'll see what kind of state they're in before that. But thanks a million, Anthony, for jumping on.
No bother, lads. Thanks for having us. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers, Andy.
We will try Irish Chancer, first time caller into the LOI late night this evening. Good evening. I want to say Irish, or do you prefer Mr. Chancer?
Oh, any will do.
Good man. I see from your profile, you're not just a Shamrock Rovers fan. You're a Danny Grant fan, to the extent that you made an 11 tonight of just Danny Grant. I have to ask, why do you think an 11 of just Danny Grant suits a 5-3-2?
Well, listen, right, Rovers obviously play a 5-3-2, right, and I won't lie, as much as I love Shamrock Rovers, Stephen Bradley's tactics, the league are finding us out. We tried something new tonight with that 4-2-2-2, obviously, and it did end up working. We dominated the game, obviously, we were all over shells. They looked like a mid-table team. You wouldn't swear they were title challengers, but at the end of the day, we were all over the place. The scoreline does not tell the story, but in terms of Danny Grant, I just think he's a brilliant player.
He's been brilliant since he's come in, Danny Grant, hasn't he? He's been totally underrated in that 3-5-2 system as well, bar tonight. Like, up and down that wing, you just look at the kilometres he's putting in as a basic. He's up there 11, 12 kilometres a game, and then, like, when you haven't got a direct fullback behind you to cover for you, you've got to get up and down that line. He's done it, and he's added quality in at the end as well. And look at a couple of the balls he put in tonight, and he put in a real shift. But didn't they? Like, they were excellent. But I thought Shells were so poor, and I thought they got it wrong from the get go. Rovers just had it so easy. Pico, Dan Cleary, just spread out and let Matthew Healy just sit in the middle there and play passes around. It's just so easy from Chapman and Caffrey were kind of hooked on to Pico and Dan Cleary. It was so easy to play through the middle for them. Didn't really change it until the second half when you brought on Meepo and Boyd did well when we came on. But by that, they just looked so poor and didn't look like, as you said, defending champions.
Yeah, you know, I swear to God, like, Shells, they looked half dead. I think ever since Damien Duff was banished to the hedges at Daly Mount Park, he hasn't been the same, to be honest. Like, I've seen videos of him screaming the locker room down. Like, you swear to God, all the players are on him. But, like, come on, when I've got Sam Bowen in defence, right, we're not going to talk about that. Right, the point is, Rovers were very dominant today. And at the start of the season, if you'd ask me, who will Rovers' biggest, you know, contenders be if they're going for a title race, I would have told you Pats, but they looked so dreadful. I swear to God, I was watching Moss grow on a rock. I had Drogheda and Pats off to the side, and you know, I was sitting out with the lads eating a cheeky pizza. It was absolutely gorgeous, really, let me tell you. But we all get into that, because it's a pizza. We're talking about league of football there, right? So I sat down, yeah, and I was watching Rose, and I was just like, oh, dear Lord, we're brilliant. But when aren't they, right? And except when we're playing Bowers, dear Lord, we're absolutely horrendous. But, like, I swear to God, Pats were just, they were so slow, they were so rugged. It was like trying to watch a turtle cross the M50. It was not good in the slightest, I'll tell you that. Drogheda They were all right. They were better than Patch, but I wouldn't say better enough to get a win. I think a 0-0 draw really tells a story there. But in terms of Danny Grant coming in, like the moment he came in, like I know he signed for Bowers and we hate Bowers, right? But the minute Danny Grant came in, I told my friend, I said, listen, he's going to be a quality shine. And my friend looked at me, look, I had seven heads and I just blended up like sand and gravel in a blender. Like I looked around to that man. And let me tell you, right, ever since he's came in, I've been tracking his stats. He's got four assists. He's got a goal. He's up and down the pitch. Like, I swear to God, he puts in more kilometres than a Range Rover. Right? I'm telling you now, he's up and down that wing. He's absolutely rapid with pace. The balls he delivers into buckets. Like, oh my days. Listen, if FedEx hired Danny Grant, their packages would not be broken and battered. I tell you that now, right? Danny Grant, I think it's a wild show, but I think top three, even like second place for best player over the last season. Obviously, first, it'd have to be Matthew. Like, he's just been insane. It's worth God. He was like, I was about to say a Belgian Kevin De Bruyne, but he is Belgian. He's Matt Healy ever since he came in. Like, he's just up and down the pitch, constant balls. It's delivery, no matter where. You could send that fella the fingers and he'd be able to ping it into the Palace Stadium box from halfway across Finsbury. Like, he's absolutely insane. Like, I swear to God.
Irish, iconic, absolutely brilliant stuff. Thank you so much for jumping on.
Thank you very much, yeah. Happy to be here.
Take it easy. All right. I have a feeling it's going to be very hard for Shane Kennedy to follow that up. But
oh, my good God.
Ah, brilliant stuff. Brilliant stuff. Right. Shane Kennedy, try and beat that. I'm going to throw a stat at you before you come on here. Shelburne had no shots on target tonight. Shane, what did you make of tonight's performance?
Stop there. That was probably our worst performance against a proper team, we think, in I don't know how long.
Yeah, it was. I don't know where to start with you, Shane. It was just completely and utterly blunt. It really, really was. I thought it was a I don't know, when Meepo and Sean Boyd come on, you're thinking, how come they didn't start? But look, I suppose at the same time, John Martin had been going very, very well. But yeah, I just, like, that could have been a lot bigger score. Like, Conor Kearns was your best player tonight.
Oh, well, the chance at the end of the first half was our mistake. But I thought when Meepo and Sean Boyd came on, we just lost control of the midfield. And Matt Healy, I think, when we... 8-year-old son could have played centre mid, and that when the two lads were on, we just missed the number 10. The Chapman was blocking them a little bit in the first half. Like, we just had the two lads up front, and the three lads in the middle were just so far behind because they thought, right, we've two up front now, we only need to push on. We looked even worse with two strikers after the change than we did when we had John Martin and Chapman up front. It's hard to criticise, whatever, would you have gone with Boyd and Wood instead of the two lads up front together? Like, they were in a line, so it was just too easy for Rovers. They fired the better team, weren't they? Like, and we haven't got the grips with the shape, and you're just, as I said it before, you're hoping, not repeating yourself, you're hoping it's on Europe. Or even Paddy Barrett tonight, like, he didn't look comfortable in the back three. We just don't look comfortable with two fullbacks playing as centre halves. Again, the goal, another set piece, because Gannon is a different position playing fullback as it is centre half. Like, and we just don't, yeah, like, they don't have anyone the size of Chuck and Tyreek Wilson on their team, I don't think. We just look a bit light. The Wilson in the midfield thing was, I didn't see it. I think someone said he was following Jack Bourne around, but him in midfield, we all looked at him and went, what the hell is this? Like, finally, we get Coyle back in and we stick another defender in midfield. So we had a midfield, McEnroy, who's a bit defensive ish. Coyle and Tariq Wilson, how are we going to go up the pitch? Like, you know, we rely on Evan Caffrey so much. Like, everything just comes from him. He's the only one that I think would, I wouldn't say walk into a team, but he'd be the only one that would get into any of the other top sides, in my opinion. And even McEnroy tonight, he has moments, but, like, I suppose he runs, and that's what fans like. But yeah, we'd hope for a nice, comfortable-ish draw for Europe, or else, I don't know.
They mentioned on commentary there at one stage, Barry, I can't remember the exact numbers, but I think it was something like, I think Shells were 7 or 8 points worse off than they were at this time in the last season. Rovers were 9 or 10 points better off. I know the combination of the two numbers was 18 points. There's been an 18-point swing from this point last year to this time this year. That's that's a big, big shift.
Yeah, but Shane, when have you ever seen Shells go zonal? like your corners. They don't do that, especially with Paddy Barrett back there. You look at the goal and you look at Dan Carey standing on the edge of the box and where that free kick is. All he's doing is putting it in. It's great delivery. You know what you're going to get with Jack Byrne. It's going to be on the money every time. But he's got a 10-yard run on anyone, and he ends up going in. And he's about a foot above. I don't even know who it was. Was it McElroy? He got a ball. Yeah, like it's incredible. Just like the goals they're conceding compared to last year. And you look like they're trying to play a bit more football this year because you go back to what got you the results last year.
Sorry, the zonal thing, I think we've always done. Rovers have scored back post headers, so I think we put all our lads back post, and that's probably why Coyler's in the middle. And look, it's a bit unlucky that it falls to the smallest player in the box against one of their biggest. But even in the second half, they nearly scored. I don't know if it was a foul. It didn't look a foul to me. The back post header from, I think they had three men. They've done that.
Yeah,
definitely did look a foul on TV. I mean, the ref is very lucky from a Rovers point of view. The ref is very lucky that Rovers did manage to come up with a winner and get him out of jail there, because that was a criminal decision. I cannot see, after watching it back two or three times, what he thought he saw.
I was watching Grace put his hands on someone. I thought, is that it? And there's not enough in it. When you look at it, it's Honahan and Boyd is what he's giving it for. He's pointing to, but there's still not enough to give it a free out.
I think it was for the header he scored. I think it might have been for the man in front of him, maybe. But again, it's three against one. We've gone zonal a few times, though. But again, you're going zonal with Ledwidge and Gannon. The two fullbacks playing centre-half. You had Lewis Temple on the bench there, who mightn't be technically as good on the ball there. I mean, he's come back from a broken foot, so it's not like he's a muscle injury. You don't need to watch him, in my opinion. Once his bone is healed, he's ready to go. Like, Sean Gannon's been on the bench all season when he's been available, and he hasn't played right centre-half. So putting him in right centre-half against Rovers is just makes no sense. Even Chapman's been on the pitch the whole season, and he hasn't played in the 10, but he plays him tonight in the 10. Like, and Wilson plays centre midfield. Like the decisions tonight is just
it's hard for Gano to go for not to be. I'm probably sound like I'm making excuses for him, but to go, as you say, from playing as little as he had to being pitched in against, you know, arguably the team with the most quality in the division, and he'll be disappointed with himself for that second goal. But like I say, it's hard to get up to that level. You know, just pull it out.
Yeah, we had Sean Gannon who hadn't. I think he played one game against Bowes. Right centre half. We had Paddy Barry, who hadn't played centre half of a three, maybe one game all season. We had Tariq Wilson, who was playing right centre mid. Don't think he's played there since trotted away last year. We had Chapman, who played in the 10, who'd never played in the 10 all season, apart one game. The whole thing tonight just made no sense. Like, it didn't make any sense. But look, we have Champions League coming up and we have Europe, and I said it before, I think that's what we're building on. So you can't be too critical, but I suppose we're putting all our eggs in that basket. And even tonight, though, there was a time where Meepo had a chance to get the ball in behind, and Coyle takes too much out of it. And everyone was like, give it the ball to him. Like, you're not going to pass the ball to his feet, because, again, you know, it's a bit like trampoline. The ball bounces off him. But he had a run in behind, and Coyle takes one too many touches, and chance is gone then. And Gano had a chance to play a forward, a Q. Our Rovers lads were just by far the better team, weren't they? Like, that's...
And the mad thing for me was, lads, I'll be honest, when I saw the teams announced, I thought, Jesus, Brads is really taking chances here. Like, I couldn't believe that he had, you know, Graham Burke, Dylan Watts, Lee Grace, all left out of the side. Like, it was almost like a show of disrespect. Like, we're out again Monday, I need to rest some of my bigger lads for the bigger game Monday, almost kind of thing, you know?
Well, I think he's obviously seen a weakness in us at the back, and Gaffney I thought was outstanding tonight. Well, I don't think he... Yeah, and obviously, I don't know who played away the Pats, but I think he has Pats down to a T this season, I think, so he probably knows how to play against them. He can put through them a bit easier, so maybe Bourke suits them better. Could say that, but Grace came on at the 2 minutes, so it was clearly a tactical decision and not an injury, or he wouldn't have come on that early. I don't know how he didn't get man of the match. I thought Lee Grace was unbelievable.
Yeah, he was brilliant.
Matt Healy obviously is the young kid on coming up, so could see that. Like, yeah, but Monday's a massive game for us if we want to, I don't know, even get fourth at this rate. Like, you know, we're slipping away, but it'd be interesting, just to make the point, if we do have a bad European campaign. I said it to one of the lads tonight, I think if we didn't have the Champions League and Europe coming up, we'd have changed formation, obviously, because our results have been poor. Because we have that coming up, I think he's just set on this being how we're going to play in Europe. And it'd be interesting to see if we get knocked out in the Champions League and Europe, but we're unseeded about them, so it could be in two draws if he then changes it, because we might need to start winning games. You can't build on something if you're losing, and like Europe is the aim this year, and I think I don't think the board would be too happy if we didn't get it. So hopefully we didn't over budget for it, but it's not looking good, especially with Bowers, who I did say when we played them, they're a good side. And they look like they're home and host now for a second with one or two more results, they'd be all right.
Yeah, what you really needed tonight, Shane, was Dan Kelly to pull off another header, and we could have been talking a totally different story.
Well, I have to say that I always get shafted coming on with Tommy and Galway last week and following that Rovers lad tonight with their boy, famously. He definitely didn't play 4-2-3-1. I don't think Rovers have changed formation in about 10 years. Well, yeah, I always see to get shafted. I always follow this lad.
4-2-2-2, he did.
That's like beef when they're 1-0 down, isn't it? Last minute.
Fair play to them. The lads are on the few new callers, so fair play to them for coming on.
I think Brazil.
So look, we go again.
Brazil with Ronaldinho and Kaká behind Ronaldo. It's about the only time I've ever seen 4-2-2-2-2.
Yeah, but Jane, they still wouldn't beat a team full of Danny Grant, so it doesn't matter. Oh, what do you guys say? What do you guys say? Right, sound lads, shall we go? And on to Monday we go for a big game and another European Monday match, which is, look.
Oh, well, it's Pats and Inchicore. I mean, judging by what happened tonight, they don't seem to have made the most of the break, so... We'll have to wait and see. Thanks a million, Shane.
Cheers. Thanks, lads.
Yeah, Cam, it doesn't seem like that beef has gone either from the Bradzer and Duffer. I was just getting a couple of messages through that if you're watching the LOI TV abroad, if the camera was still rolling before the interviews with the managers, and you can just hear Damien Duff roaring zero class at somebody. That's just about 30 seconds after Bradzer left his interview. So that doesn't seem to have calmed down either.
No, it doesn't. We'll have to chase up and happen there, John. Yeah. Higgins is there for us tonight, so we'll probably have plenty of reaction over on the Off The Ball channels, so you can tune into that as well. Let's bring in another caller this evening. Matthew is going to join us now. Good evening, Matthew. How are you? Welcome to LOI Late Night. Not too bad at all. Not too bad. It looks like you support Bohemians.
Yes, Bowles, 2-0 win way down Cork, and got the job done in the end. Look at we were fucking dominant the entire game, like fucking, we were just dominant the entire game. Like I think Meekson had a chance like very, very early on, dragged him wide. I think there was another chance like Tierney had, like he just took one too many touches. I thought if he took one less touch for one of them, it was in the second half. Like if he took one less touch, like he would have scored. But I want to talk for a second about Cork's keeper, Troost. He was fantastic. Like he was like some of the saves he pulled off were fantastic, and I think I'd love to see like the XG for us. I think it'd be quite high, but in terms of the results, obviously, yeah, fantastic result for us. We're in second now, which I'm absolutely delighted by. And look, it's not bad considering we were in crisis apparently 2 months ago. But
yeah, I have the numbers here in front of me, Matthew. You said my favorite digits or my favorite phrase, XG. I'm looking here. 2.39, but I see eight shots on target. So Troost was certainly a busy man. Look, he's been one of the positives in a bad season for them, really. That's fascinating. You'd kind of look and go, where would they be? Essentially, where could they be without him? But really impressive, Matthew. Really impressive from Bowes again tonight, and pouring along very nicely. Like when the last caller, Bowes fan, was on there, he was talking about, you know, some of the best players they've seen in Bowes jerseys. I mean, this is why we were all scratching our heads so much at the start of the season. Like, it just didn't make sense. You were looking at the names on paper and you were going, how can this not be a good team? And you were looking at the people on the sideline running the team and you were going, how can this not be a good management team? You know, two people of, you know, high renowned and very good stature within the game, and then the quality that was on the pitch. You're like, none of this makes sense until all of a sudden it started to make sense. And now you're trucking along, and you know, I'm not sure I'd go quite as far as Shane there, who suggested you almost have second wrapped up, but you're certainly looking in a super position.
Yeah, 100%. Like at the start of the season, it just looks so like disjointed. Even the the home game against Cork, like we played the one we won 1-0. The only reason we won that game was because Maguire and Keating were out. But if they were fit, we would have won. Simple as that. Like, so I think like something has changed. Now I will caveat that by saying I don't think like the one goal margins that we're winning by constantly are sustainable. Just because I think like eventually we're going to get found out one way or another. But I think like in terms of this season, I think we're playing good football. But I think this, I saw some fair tweet. This season's like make or break for us, or this window's make or break for us. Like we need to get I think one more kind of striker in, someone to really kind of finish off the chance we're creating, because we're creating some good chances. We're, you know, getting shots away. We're creating good play. Like Tierney was fantastic in terms of his play. So was Rooney. Like, so, but we need someone to finish them off. Like we really do. And I think a striker to bring in. If we brought in Georgie Kelly back again, like he's been rumored to come back, great. But we need a solid striker just to be able to finish all those chances we're creating. Because I think if we can pull away some of the chances that we should really be pulling away but haven't, then I think, you know, I honestly think that could be Europe secured for us. And like I probably have designs of like us winning the league, like, and I think we can, but we need to get a striker for it to do that.
I think so if Georgie Kelly was coming back, there'd be some queue for a wonder.
Sorry?
If Georgie Kelly had any designs on coming back, there'd be some queue for him.
Probably, yeah.
He'd be perfect. Like, if you look at him up there and you've got the legs of Tierney, Rooney, Devoy around him, he's exactly what you need. Whether you could get him or not is a different thing, but... yeah, he's definitely one that could do a job for you.
100%. But in fairness, our striker options, it doesn't exactly help when you consider that one of your strikers is in Sheffield watching a boxing match, apparently.
That's where he is, so,
yep, that was on the East Blue Stays Instagram story. So that's all I'm going to leave it at. But fucking... we need a striker badly, I think, because we have been putting away, we have been creating some good chances and we have been doing some good play. I just think we need to score more goals now. Like, we need to kind of get a striker to kind of pull away those chances. And I think once we get that, then we're sorted. And I'll also caveat, I don't really see Alan Reynolds as like the long-term kind of solution. I just think his style of play that we're doing is like, it's going to get found out at some point, the whole kind of holding on to a one goal lead kind of thing. I know we didn't tonight, like we were dominant, but the holding on to a one goal lead is really kind of squeaky bum situation. I feel like at some point we're going to get caught out one way or another. Those one goal wins are going to turn into draws, are going to turn into losses. So I think we really need to sort of get striker in, and we really need to get like a good sort of commanding lead in a game. So it was good to see us getting that commanding lead sort of early on, but we need to get another striker in just to kind of ensure ourselves.
Yeah, as long as those 1-0 wins don't turn to draws, Matthew, because I really want Bowles to go the whole season without a single draw. It would be absolutely outstanding as a start. Listen. Thanks so much for jumping on. We will get you on again very soon.
Thanks. And also, I just wanted to say real quick, Ian from Alloy Talk says Lee Devitt is the best player in the world.
We did get another Lee Devitt comment in our chat. If you have a look there, Cameron, fella Noel Owen O'Brien down that neck of the woods reckons he's learning Spanish due to an impending move, I assume, either Barcelona or Real Madrid, such as its form.
Oh, will his Spanish be better or worse than Trent Alexander-Arnold's? That is the... Turns out 2 weeks on Duolingo can do one. By the way, if you haven't seen it yet, it's up on the League of Ireland page, but Lee Devitt's goal for Treaty United is pretty special. Really, really nice effort. Curling effort into the top left corner. So, well worth digging that one out after tonight. So, Cian is going to jump on next. Cian of Shamrock Rovers fandom. Good evening. How are you?
Harry, lads, what's the crack?
Not too bad, not too bad. You sound like you're making your way back from Talca Park in a pretty content mood. What was your take on tonight?
I just wanted to bring you some kind of rational talk to the conversation about Danny Grant, now that your man's gone. Danny Grant, just Bradley has an unbelievable track record with turning players into wing-backs, and he seems to have done it again with Danny Grant. He hasn't been as amazing as your man is pointing out earlier, but he's been very good, and I really didn't see it when he signed, but there was times there towards the end when Danny Grant was defending really, really well, balls in behind, 1v1s, everything, and it's just Bradley has just such a great track record when it comes to signing players and turning them into wingbacks. So I couldn't speak highly enough of Bradley in that regard.
What about your other wing back tonight, Ian? Because Josh Honohan looked like he was going to have one of those nights with that inexplicable head. I don't know what he was thinking, going for the head when the ball was coming in that low, but then redeems himself with the winner.
Yeah, he's been terrible the last two games, to be honest. Obviously, Bradley had a go at him after the Galway game before the break, and he was very poor again tonight, I thought. And then he came up with an unbelievable finish, but Caffrey was really aggressive on him and did really well. Anytime the ball came out left to Honohan, Caffrey really ran at him and tried to force him backwards. So, to be fair, credit to Caffrey, but I thought Honohan was quite poor the last two games. And, you know, you're kind of looking at the bench, seeing as Trevor Clark ready to come on, and then he just buried that. So, hopefully he can pick up form in the next few weeks.
Yeah, the Danny Grant one, like... The thing you think back, Keane, before he went away, and he was the most exciting player in the league. Like, he really, really was. And it just wasn't, again, for whatever reason, it just wasn't happening last year for him. And like, when I'll be honest, when I saw the move to Rovers, I did think, I know it's easy said now, but I did think to myself, because you know the quality of a manager that Bradley is. Because you know the quality of player that's inside Danny Grant, even if we hadn't seen it in the last 12 months, I just thought it was a genius move, and I just thought it was a match made in heaven. And I thought, like, I was thinking to myself, this Bradley could get an absolute tune out of a top-class player here. And it's kind of played out that way. You raise a good point. His track record, on wing-backs is absolutely sensational. And quite often... fellas who maybe we didn't quite see as wing-backs. I mean, there's no way on God's green earth I would have seen Josh Honohan as a wing-back before he moved to Rovers. I wouldn't have seen Danny Grant as a wing-back based on his performances over the years. He had questioned it defensively. And even the ones who are more natural wing-backs, he's converted them. He's changed them to inverted wing-backs by sending Andy Lyons from right across to left. He's certainly got a brilliant eye for it in that sense. But yeah, look, I just think as a team, I mean, we've mentioned his name a few times tonight, Matt Healy, you know, I think he's right up there in terms of player of the year so far. I think he's been that good. By the way, actually, when I say player of the year so far, I don't know if any of you noticed that the PFAI announcement, Barry, did you see that in relation to the changes and how they're... I think that's really clever. Really, really clever.
Yeah, you see that it's done twice now. So it's done at this time, and then it's done again with a couple of games to go. And it was always one of those where you're looking, like, they used to come into the dressing room in, I think it was about July. It was around European time, and they're doing your player of the year forms. And it comes to October, November, and you're going, who's I vote for again? And you see the winner's been announced, and they haven't played in five or six games, haven't scored in 10. You're going, what is going on? But it's much cleverer the way they're doing it now. And it adds something a little bit to it as well, about kind of you're having that conversation in the dressing room about keeping up performances and things like that. But yeah, it's definitely something a little bit inventive from the PFAI's point of view. But just back to your point about Danny Grant and Virgil Wings. Look at Neil Ferrugia, what he did and the way they turned him into. They found a new role for him in Europe as well. He wasn't just a kind of fullback, a wingback. He hooked in a little bit in those European games. That's where he got his joy. And Danny Grant has kind of stayed a little bit further out wide and got his joy out wide. He's whipping balls in. But he said that work rate is phenomenal. But it'd be interesting to see what he does when it does come to European time. Does he put him in that Neil Ferrugia role where it's more of an inside job and then get someone to go on the outside? And so, yeah, interesting times ahead. But you're right, for a guy that has an eye for them.
On the other hand, I can't see Tyreek Wilson playing in midfield.
It was crazy.
Again, that was bizarre. Absolutely bizarre. Considering as well, like, you've Looney on the bench and, you know, Ali Koo, Shells are really strong. They recruited really well for attacking midfielders, holding midfielders. And now he put Tyreek Wilson in there. Just, like, he didn't play a forward pass in the whole game. He didn't break up play that at all, really. And yeah, it's just, and Matt Healy just had to run of the place. It was absolutely bizarre.
Cian, at this stage, I mean, you know, 6 points clear still at the top. I mean, you've got Drogheda United, the trip on Monday, but, like, realistically, Johnny Ward thinks the title race is over, and I'm not 100% sure of that, but really, 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 is there anyone else in that league that you're fearing who could maybe challenge for the title at this point?
Injuries. Probably be fearing injuries. I know there was pretty much a full squad there tonight, but, you know, I think they're managing the players really well. I actually, just coming back to something you said earlier about, was it disrespectful, I think you said, about the starting lineup leaving Grace and Burke out. A few of the lads are only coming back from injury. Like, Watts is coming back. Grace is actually coming back from an injury. So that's why they were on the bench. But on the other hand, they seem to be managing Graham Burke and Jack Byrne really well this season by not playing them all the time, especially in the Friday and Monday game. So, you know, we might see Jack maybe come off the bench on Monday and Berkey start, and it seems to be paying off so far. So I think if Rovers have that squad and stay in relatively injury free, I don't think anybody else is going to catch them, to be honest.
But even when you say injuries, Cian, like, you are the squad who is best equipped to deal with injuries. Like, yeah, it's every single player in that team pretty much has a player who can come in for him that's of equal or only marginally inferior quality. So, like, you know, you look at maybe some other teams, you think, geez, if they lost him or him, they'd be in big trouble. I don't think you can even say that. Like, last season, that was the issue
early on last season, that we didn't have the depth. Yeah. But probably this year, you could say we do, yeah.
Cian, thanks so much for jumping on.
Cheers, lads.
Best of luck. Okay, Tommy Shields is ready to jump on. We'll probably round out the show with him and the Galway United supporters bus. But I do want to get a sense of what happened after full time at Talca Park. And Jonathan Higgins was commentating alongside Keith Tracy tonight on News Talk and can tell us more, I'm sure. Good evening, Jonathan.
Good evening, guys. How are we?
So, before we get to anything about the match itself, what went down between Damien Duff and maybe some of the Shamrock Rovers backroom?
Oh, God. Is there not another show on that, lads? All I can say, anybody that thinks that handshake before or after the game is the end of that feud, they need to have a big reality check that it's far from over.
And if you could see that, you could see that in the handshake, lads. That was the most icy cold handshake. Like, the sole purpose of saying that they shook hands, that was the only reason.
Yeah, well, like, Dover, as usual, is box office. The interview I filed and sent back in, just listen to the last couple of moments. It's box office. I have no friends in football. He's in my welcome into my house, so of course I'm going to welcome him. But that's what was said and what was shouted afterwards, even in our vicinity. So I can only imagine what it's like behind closed doors. They're not, I know I used the line at the start in the intro about Duffer describing them being on the gargle for the week, and I thought maybe they might share a nice beverage with each other. Certainly not. They won't be going around for a cup of scalds in each other's house anytime soon. That feud is well and truly lit still.
What was said at full time, Jonathan, in terms of the back and forth? What did you hear?
Yeah, like I saw Duffer come out and shout, you've no respect, can't buy it, and kind of burst to those venue. Now he's cooled down by the time he came around, so it was quite hot and heavy still. So I know it's raw afterwards, but yeah, there's a good bit of needle still there. I think what fuel on the fire afterwards was Stephen Bradley was probably as emotional as I've ever seen him after the full-time whistle. Like, he went to Jurgen Klopp on steroids with the fist pumps. Like, there's a huge travel in Shamrock Rovers supporters, There was a series of fist bumps that seemed to go on forever, even when he's walking away. I think there was even one done in the halfway line facing back to them. So I'd imagine, if I'm guessing, the images of that probably didn't help the red haze. But yeah, it's something that's going to go on and on. What I would say is I totally agree with Johnny Ward. That's the champions' end off. There's no way anyone else is catching them.
Wow.
They're too good. Yeah. They're too good. The quality that happens is just insane. Like, you see Matthews going off early doors, and Grace comes in and plays amazing. Like, even look at the players that weren't involved tonight. The young talent, old talent coming off, experienced pros. Even Trevor Clark being back as well. That's another option at wing back. It's just, it's endless. It's an embarrassing strength of injuries. And they are by a country mile the best team in the country. By a country mile.
But, like, I suppose, Shane, we knew that. We knew that from the quality of their squad. And the as you say, you're kind of taking the piss with your subs rule, where they had that quadruple sub at one time and it was absolutely star-studded. I can't remember exactly who came on, but it was just one of those where you're like, oh my God, this is so unfair. But on paper, they should be absolutely running away with everything. And it's just been that, whatever, about form and injury and just another team creeping up, like we saw with Drogheda at the start of the year, that they've been reined back in. But they're walking the walk now.
Yeah, they certainly are. And look, it's, you know, again, hindsight and all that, but it did seem like only a matter of time. Look, I'll be honest, the one team I thought might be able to make life difficult on them is Pats. Obviously, they really, really haven't got anywhere close to the level that we expected. They are what Bowes were at the start of the year, which is a group of players who are getting nowhere close to delivering on the pitch what they are capable of when you write the team down on paper. You know, you look at the quality that's there, and they should be, you know, delivering results on a regular basis and capable of blowing a lot of teams out of water, but it's absolutely not happening. And bar they massively ignite, and I don't have the table in front of me, how far behind Rovers are they? Even if they do ignite, is it even possible for them to go and catch them at this stage, really? So look, I'm speaking as somebody who had a few quid on them when they were still better than even money. They're now 1-4, which I think is, you know, that is kind of that's certainly the bookmakers saying, as far as they're concerned, payout done and dusted, it's all over. And it's hard to see how the bookmakers are going to be made to look foolish on this one, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a tricky one at this stage. The battle for second in Europe probably looks a little bit more interesting still, rather than the title race, if things are going the way they are. Jonathan, we'll let you get home. We'll catch up with you soon, and we look forward to seeing the post-match content that you were able to capture down in Talker Park this evening. I think that'll about do it for us tonight on LOI Late Night. It's been a really, really good episode this evening. Thank you so much to everybody for jumping on. Thank you very much, Shane.
Enjoyed it, lads.
And Barry, a pleasure as always.
Yeah, cheers, lads.
League of Ireland Late Night in partnership with Rockshore and Off the Ball, a league of our own. Get the facts, be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie. Lots to come in League of Ireland land over the next couple of days. So, as I said, the Men's Premier Division, one game tomorrow. You've Sligo against Waterford from 7:45 at the Showgrounds. Longford Town against Cove is the game in the First Division at 7:30 at Bishopsgate. Full programme of fixtures in the Women's Premier Division tomorrow. Undoubtedly, the tie of the round is leaders Athlone Town versus second placed Shelburne. That will be an absolute cracker at 4:00 at Talca Park on Monday. You have two games in the Men's Premier Division. So Drogheda taking on league leaders Shamrock Rovers, and Pats against Shelburne. Produced a really good game last year, the best game of the season. So hopefully we will get something similar. And then next Friday, full round of fixtures in the Premier Division. You have Drogheda United against Sligo, Galway against St. Pat's, Shelburne, Derry, Waterford, Bowes, and Shamrock Rovers, Cork City.
LOI Late Night on Off the Ball is brought to you by Rockshore 00. Refreshingly alcohol-free.
Always be drink aware. Get the facts and visit drinkaware.ie.